Welcome to In the Sports Booth here, live from Skid Row Studios. My name is Eldrick Bone, accompanied by two lovely gentlemen right here, Jay Harrison and our newest member, Jacob Stockfish.
What's up?
How you doing, gentlemen?
Doing good.
We have a beautiful day, full of sports, just like every Sunday, and we're blessed enough to be here talking about it.
Oh, yeah. Love Sundays.
Exactly. For that same reason, that's what we're going to start off with our show. I promise you, we have everything coming from soccer, baseball, NBA, everything. But we got to start off with one thing and one thing now. And that's our NFL coming live to you. We had such an eventful week, so to speak.
Tell me about it.
Let's start with Monday. Where were you guys on Monday? That's our NFL music, cueing you in.
Where were you guys?
Coming back?
Yeah, that's the music. That's the sound we're hearing.
So come in. The refs are back.
I have to ask you guys, where were you guys on Monday during that Packers-Seahawks game?
I was definitely at home watching the game. I thought Seattle was going to put up a good fight, but I didn't think it was going to be that kind of an ending, if you know what I mean.
Yeah. I remember sitting at home watching it, seeing that push, and I'm like, that's a flag. Seeing the catch and seeing MDJ's got it. And then they come down. That was just one of the weirdest calls ever.
Yeah, and then the refs, if that's what you want to call them, they went to the booth and they looked at it, and then they came back and still called it a touchdown. It was really quite confusing. I didn't understand. Did they not want to admit their mistake and just give it a touchdown because it was late at the last minute? Or
here's my point on that is, what I don't understand is, even after they made the bad call, they can't overturn the possession. That's by NFL rules. So that's my problem with the refs is, yeah, they made a bad call, but if we have a whole replay system in which we want to, you know, make a perfect call out of, and we want to make sure the play on the field is right, why can't we overturn a possession?
Right.
That's the real issue to me. I mean, a ref can make a split decision call on a field, a split second, made a bad call, but you can't overturn that. That's the problem with me. I don't know.
It was it's one of those meaningless reviews because you've already made the call.
Yeah.
And one ref says, you know, as a touchdown, the other says no. And once the main ref says, hey, touchdown, you can't reverse that.
No.
That's it.
Right.
It's game over. Okay, but luckily, blessing from the skies, from the gods, you. The NFL gods, an agreement was reached between the refs and the NFL. We got our refs back this week, starting Thursday. It was great. So let's review. Let's see where those two teams are at. Packers and Seahawks, arguably worst call in NFL history. And now here they are playing in two different games. The Packers took on the Saints today. And it was one of those games that you just know it's going to be a lot of offense.
Oh, you knew that one was going to be a barn burner. There's two of the top of offense, two quarterbacks, you know there's going to be some slinging going on there.
So, yeah, but they both looked a little sluggish in their first three games. They're not as big of offensive threats as they were in past seasons, so it wasn't a guaranteed.
It's true. So let's go to the game now. It's a close game full of offense. It finishes 28-27. The Saints are having a big second half controlling the ball. You got a fumble coming for the Packers. You have an interception thrown by Aaron Rodgers. So you just have the Saints owning the ball. And it finally comes down, 28-27. Matt Hartley shanks the kick.
Garrett Hartley.
Thank you. Garrett Hartley shanks the kick. Okay. So, a couple things from this game that I want to ask you guys. The Packers and the refs were still not seeing eye to eye. When the refs came out at the beginning of the game, applause is all around. We're happy you're here. You're happy you're back. By the second half, the honeymoon period, it was over. The Packers use one challenge, wasted. Use another challenge, almost a for sure thing. A same call twice, but for the different team. The refs give it to the Saints. And they had a fumble call that they didn't get the ball back. So what does this really mean when it comes to, okay, we got our replacement refs and the real refs?
I mean, you can boo-hoo and you can cry about certain calls. I mean, like, one team's always going to be mad.
Yeah, I mean, it's difficult. I think we're concentrating too much on the refs, to be honest with you,
yeah,
with everybody. I mean, besides the extreme amount of pass interference calls in the original first 3 weeks, if you didn't tell me they weren't replacing refs, I wouldn't even have paid attention.
Who would have knew?
You know, so, I mean, they're going to make mistakes with the real refs. They're going to make them with the other refs. It is what it is. You know, and either way, Hartley's got to make that kick. You're 0-3. You got to get a win on the board. You got
to
make that kick. You had the opportunity
to come in and save your team.
That's on you.
Opportunity to come in and save your season, save your team, save
Oh, yeah, because they're
done. Save some hope.
Yeah, they're done.
So two of the best quarterbacks matched up today, and it wasn't really a game, a situation of not knowing the touchdowns were coming, because they were. Aaron Rodgers had a four touchdown game.
Finally.
But it comes down to defense. So which team here has the shakier defense?
Both.
Oh, I'm definitely going to go with the Saints.
What? Why the Saints?
Because they don't have their captain on defense, Vilma. They don't have their coach. Losing your head coach is a big deal. A lot of people overlook that, thinking, oh, yeah, the players play the game. That's who wins it. No, the coach, when you're down at a half, who do you think is expecting you to pull you out of the hole? Who do you think is expecting you to rally the troops? Not yeah. some interim head coach who was sent in. They're going to have another coach later on in, like, I don't know how many weeks.
All right, I got to hold you because we got a caller already.
Oh.
Who's with us? Who's with us? Tell us your name.
Hello?
Hello. Who is this?
This is Porter. Who is this?
Porter. We got a good friend, Michael Porter, in the house. This is Eldrick Bone. You know me different from a different name, but I'm not going to say that on air. How you doing, Porter?
How's it going, Eldrick?
Great, great, great. Did you happen to know about the Packers and New Orleans game?
Yeah, I saw that. That was pretty awesome, the way that the Saints lost that game in the final moments there. That's pretty heartbreaking.
Yeah, I can tell you were rooting for not the Saints, huh?
What's your team? What's your team?
I love the Patriots. I'm a Patriots fan.
And you know what? It's farther down the rundown, but, you know, Porter, I know you're a big Pats fan because you're the only big Pats fan that I know that's with me all the time talking about it. let's go to it right now. The Patriots run through Buffalo 52-28. And I know you were amazed by one interesting fact at the end. How was that second half for you, Porter?
Yeah, I mean, the second half was great. We outscored them 45-7, I think. That was impressive. The defense stepped up. We had a couple fumbles recovered there. And I think if not for those, you know, early turnovers, we really wouldn't have allowed more than maybe 10, 14 points. But I really like where our team is at now. We've got a running game. You know, Bolden and Ridley really, you know, they almost went for 300 total yards on the ground. So we look good.
Yeah, I hear that, man. You know what? Speaking of running, Ridley and Bolden, both youngins, 122, the other 123, both running for 100-plus yards.
Wow.
That's running the span of the field twice for one team.
Let me ask you a question. Who does that say more about, the running game or the defense? Because I think we all know the answer to that question. We all know number 12 wins those games, and it's not the running backs.
What's going to happen against San Francisco, Arizona with those two guys?
What's going on?
But you always think about matchup, guys. So do you think that was the right play? Do you think that was the right move? Today? Today to have that? Do you have another caller on you?
Is he still on?
Is that Porter? Is that you?
Porter?
I'm Porter, still here.
Girl there.
All right. You have a girl with you, man?
Look at you.
There's some girls in the background.
Wow. Oh, Porter, man.
Can I add one thing, you guys, really quick?
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that I think the running game was really effective today because that Buffalo D-line is so aggressive. So when we play teams like that, you know, that have that type of Vikings D-line or maybe the Giants, you know, if we see them again, the running game is going to be a big help to us. You know, Brady doesn't have to do it all by himself. Those guys are going to be huge down the stretch, and our schedule is real easy. So I expect us to win 12 games again.
Speaking of number 12, Tom Brady, 3 touchdowns, one rushing touchdown himself. Not the fastest man on the...
Definitely not the smoothest of...
not the smoothest of runners, but still scoring it, man. So, absolutely amazing performance by the Patriots. Can't complain about that at all. Hey, Porter, want to thank you for joining us, man. Feel free to call us anytime. I appreciate your opinions.
I will. This is awesome. You guys keep it up. Eldrick, you guys keep it up, man.
All right, Porter.
Thank you, Porter. Thanks, Porter. All right. Moving right along, actually. So... We said it was a lot closer of a game, the Pats game and the Seahawks game on Monday. The Packers win. All right, great. The Seahawks play against the Rams today. And Seahawks didn't do so well. I was specifically talking about Russell Wilson, the quarterback. Had no touchdowns, threw for about 100-something yards, and had 3 interceptions to his name. So do you attribute that to a terrible performance or awesome defense from the Rams?
I'm going to have to go with terrible performance, or at least a downplay from what we saw that he's capable of. And Russell Wilson, because he is the leader of that team now. So 3 interceptions is like, where is he making the mistakes? If we saw how crispy looked against a way better defense in the Packers. So that really, I don't know if it was a short week or I don't know.
I feel like he had a 6-day hangover, yeah. Kind of celebrating that win a little too much because he was really pumped up after that game.
You know, he went out after that one.
And, you know, I mean, he's a rookie. He threw 3 picks, but at the same time, you know, he's only 5'10". He's still got to get used to the game. That's pretty tough for a quarterback. So, you know, he's going to have his ups and downs. That's a tough division, too. So, I mean, I think it was attributed a little bit to the defense, but you can't be throwing 3 picks either, especially in a close game. If he threw 2 picks, 1 pick, and the game was close, you kind of give it to him. But 3 in a close game, you gotta pull one of those out.
I think the size is totally not to his advantage either. I
mean, no,
being at his height, he gets a lot of air into those balls.
Well, that's what they said, is that was his biggest downfall coming into the draft.
So the same thing about Drew Brees, though.
Yeah, but how many Drew Breeses are there out there? There's Drew Brees, and you can't think of Doug Flutie? That's about it. So they're very few and in between. So this will be tough. But he's got to play better than that. But he's a rookie, so you got to kind of give him a slide, especially after the big victory on Monday.
Yeah, absolutely. And this doesn't win this game, but it's kind of like, oh, the tables have turned a little bit. Yeah. Packers lose, they win the next game.
Yeah.
Seahawks win. Kind of like karma.
Karma worked out. Yeah.
Karma working out.
Completely on that.
You know, another impressive game is really performance so far for this season. The Falcons. They remain undefeated with their win, 30-28, actually, over the Panthers.
Who would have thought? After my Giants beat them up so bad last year.
We're gonna hear this.
Yeah, I gotta take a cheap shot. They're 4-0.
But I mean, let's look at that. They lose to the Giants. They lose to the Packers the year before. Both of them go on to win the Super Bowl. It's not surprising me this team's 4-0. I mean, they've had good teams. The only question is can they win in the playoffs? And I'm not really gonna care about the record until I see the playoffs. It's kind of like LeBron when he won with the Heat. You were just waiting for the playoffs, and that's what I'm kind of doing for the Falcons.
Question: whose performance was better? It was a really close game. You win it by a field goal. You have Cam Newton's performance, and you look at his numbers. He did really well. And then you have Matt Ryan's.
Got to give it to Matt Ryan.
Yeah, Matt Ryan has been beastie so far.
Cam one rushing touchdown and 2 throwing touchdowns, no turnovers.
Yeah,
but he didn't have the yardage. I think he'll be at like 200 something yards.
Well, let's look at the receivers though too. You got Roddy White and Julio Jones to throw to. If one of them doesn't ball, the other one does. So I mean, Cam doesn't have that as much anymore. C. Smith's getting older; he's still good. But I mean, yeah, you got to go with the team that won today.
Michael Turner did a hell of a job today too.
Yeah, he looked great. Finally putting the burner back in Turner, huh?
I'm just going for the numbers for that game in terms of throwing. Yeah, Matt Ryan throwing for 369 yards, 3 touchdowns, and an interception if you want to really be the stickler about that. And the passing, Cam Newton, 215, 2 touchdowns. Obviously, the numbers can't lie. Matt Ryan totally. And then making the moves. The clock is ticking, making the moves to get that in field goal position.
Yeah, but I mean, with the rushing yards, you know, that Cam had and the touchdown, they're pretty close in performance. You can't give up a 60-yard throw at the end of the game. That's kind of on the defense. They cannot give up 60-yard throws to Roddy White to get in field goal position. So, you know, in that sense, Cam did kind of put him in the position to win the game, and the defense just totally, you know, fell apart in the end. So, I mean, yeah, you give it to Matt Ryan because he won, but that's a pretty big toss-up to me.
Actually, speaking a little bit more about surprising beginnings, I guess, the Falcons, not really surprising. Mm-hmm. You think they've been playoff contenders for the last couple of years.
Yeah.
You know who surprised me this week? The Vikings.
Oh, yeah.
Actually, not even this week. This last 2 weeks. Them.
Oh, yeah.
The Vikings improved
today. I'm hopping on that. I'm hopping on the Christian Ponder bandwagon.
To 3-1 by defeating the Lions. Okay. So this game starts off hot for the Vikings anyways. Percy Harvin, kickoff, return, touchdown. That's the first move of the game. He's like, you already know the Vikings are
Percy,
doing great.
Oh, yeah.
Playing Percy against the fantasy off. This week. Hate that guy this week.
Yeah, he was rough.
Well, you know who else had having consistent performances for the Vikings is AP.
Oh, he's back.
Adrian Peterson. He is back.
So, I love AP.
How do you feel he's going to be a fair out this season?
He's AP. What else can I expect except 100 yards a game and maybe possibly 2 touchdowns?
You got to stay healthy. You know, I mean, that's it. I mean, really, I personally am not buying into the Vikings that much yet. They beat Jacksonville. They beat San Fran, which is a big win. Detroit looked like they totally fell off this year, so I'm not really buying this as a big win. you know, it lost to Indy. So I'm going to wait till they get to those Washington, Arizona games. So I really say this is a good team, because there's always a team that starts off good and then they end up falling off.
Do you think this is, so you're saying this is more about Detroit and their struggles right now than Minnesota?
Well, yeah, because they came in as a playoff team last year. Everybody's talking about this big, bad defense, and now they're giving up, you know, points all over the board. So, you know, the big win was San Francisco, but they could have been, you know, a little underrated at that point. So I want to see their big games. Tennessee's not a big game next week. You know, then they got Washington and Arizona. Those are big games that we can really see if they're going to become a good team.
But let's remember who these Lions are. Like, a couple, it wasn't like a, except for a few years ago when they were in the trash. Like,
yeah.
I mean, Calvin Johnson saved their franchise.
Last year could have been a little bit of a fluke, so I don't know. I like the Vikings, but I need to see a little more out of them before I call them a real big contender on the field.
You really feel that they had a quarterback to support them with that?
No.
I like Ponder right now. He has 4 touchdowns, no interceptions this season.
Yeah, but he only threw for 100 and some change.
He's not turning,
turning the ball over.
Well, that's true. That he's controlling the pace of the game. Didn't really get sacked, so you know he's getting protected pretty well. And you have AP. You can hand it off to him at almost every play.
Yeah, exactly. AP's going to manage that game more so than the quarterback.
If you look over recent years, though, you always need a big quarterback to win the Super Bowl. Very big true. Quarterbacks win the Super Bowl. I don't see Christian Ponder being that guy. No big running back has won the Super Bowl. Barry Sanders couldn't even get one. So, I mean, you know, to me, AP, he can take you far, but you're going to need someone a little better than Christian Ponder to win you 3 games just to get to the Super Bowl, because they're definitely not going to get a bye. So
yeah, I'm not predicting them to win the Super Bowl or anything. I'm
well, isn't that the whole point?
I'm just along for the ride. No, I'm liking Christian Ponder's his swag
his
right
progression.
Now. He's cool.
Yeah, I feel you. Okay,
he's got to give it up to.
He's in it to win it right now.
The Vikings have been having amazing D, because Stafford threw for 319 today. That's a lot of yardage.
How many picks?
No picks, no touchdowns either.
So they're playing good in that red zone, it looks like.
Looks like that red zone's on shutdown time. And
well, they do got Jared Allen, so.
It's true.
You know, he's
always a scary man to look out for.
Yeah, he's always, I mean, he used to be on my team. I'm a Chiefs fan. Sorry if anybody doesn't know that. I'm not really proud of it. But, you know, he when he went to Minnesota, I was really sad. And since he's been there, he's been one of their consistent players. So, you know, he's been waiting for a team like this to, you know, he's probably pumping them up Ray Lewis-esque. You know, for the Vikings.
I'm sure he's in everybody's face.
Oh, everybody! That's a big man.
All intense.
So, you know, we'll see with the Vikings. They're, you know, the cool thing about it is it's always fun to see that kind of out of nowhere team. So I kind of like the Vikings. They won 3 games last year. They're already at 3 games this year, so nothing can get worse. So it's only up from here for them.
Yep.
Just hope AP stays healthy. That's all I'm saying.
Last point, because we're going to go on to a break, but we got so much more to talk about, and football's only part of the spectrum. Today, Sunday night football matchup is the New York Giants.
Dun, da, da, da.
You know, you got your fan right there. You know, Jay's like, I just love him. I just love him. He was talking about Super Bowl last year, because I'm a Pats fan. And he's like, oh, yeah, that. You know, Jacob's like, oh, you guys are pretty good sports about it. Like, yeah, Jay. Like, Jay's like, yeah, he's good about it. I'm like, you're saying that because you won, man. Yeah. You're not how I feel over here. It hurts.
Yeah, yeah, the guy who always wins is like, oh, yeah, yeah, it's cool. We're good. We're good. It's like, yeah, I know we're good.
We're good, right?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Well, you have the Giants playing today, and they got the Eagles playing today. Eagles coming off a tough loss, especially Michael Vick. He took some hard hits last year. Last week. Hard hits. Getting just wrecked. And now you have 2 decent Ds. You know, they got the defense from the Giants and the Eagles. What do you think fares better in this matchup?
Go ahead and start it, Jay. I know you're a Giants fan.
Let's see. It's not like I have anything to say on this, but I'm pretty sure that with the way Michael Vick has looked over the last 3 games, everyone knows that he's looking uncomfortable and that he's not at home right now. And the way I feel the Giants can really get at him with their pass rush, I feel like they'll be able to make him rush throws just like any other team. They're making him run 7-step drops. He's not a quarterback like that. It really goes to show why Andy Reid and that Phillies team is really trying to make him do. I don't really know who to blame, what to do with that team.
Yeah, that team's, you know, they're kind of like the Heat in football. They put it together hoping that they'd be that kind of squad, and it really hasn't panned out. And, you know, I love Andy Reid, but it might be his time there, in my personal opinion. And I think Michael Vick, you know.
I love me some Michael
I like
Vick
Michael
too.
Vick, but he's getting hit hard. Yeah, that team doesn't have enough to support him right now.
Can someone block for my boy, please?
Yeah. And Eli Manning, you know, I mean, that team's on Super Bowl swag. You always have it the year after, so I don't see them losing out to the Vikings or the Eagles by any means. But, you know, and I think the Eagles are going to fall a little short this year again, and I think it's going to be Andy Reid who needs to go.
It's true. And in terms of this game, I know that Giants blitz. I know it hit hard. I know they come fast, and they have a lot of blind openings that you don't see coming, and they'll go for that blind spot and take you out.
100%.
So I can only, Vic, you're my best wishes, man. I hope you come out of here on your own accord, on your own two feet, man.
Praying for you, brother.
Yeah, I'm praying for you, man. You know, get your people to protect you. All right, last point before we take a break. We're switching gears. We're going to the baseball right now. Baseball.
Ooh.
So the National League and the American League, very different right now. You're closing in top playoff time. The Washington Nationals, the Cincinnati Reds, Atlanta Braves, and the Giants, San Francisco Giants, that is, all clinched playoff berths. The only thing that American League has, I should say, is the Kansas City Royals and the Tampa Bay Rays are eliminated from the playoffs. Everyone else, they're still in contention right now.
It's close.
It's close. There's only about 3 or 4 games left in the regular season, depending on what team is which. Mm-hmm. So let's go to the closest, most stressful one right now. The Orioles and the Yankees have the exact same record right now, 4 games out. Who do you think clinches their division?
You want to take this one, Jay?
No, I'll chime in.
Mark Teixeira is coming back. I don't know how his eye is and how much time he needs to get on, but I think that'll be an added bat that they really need to really just push them over the edge, because the Orioles are gunning for them, and I don't think the Orioles are going to lose any more games. It's on the Yankees pitching, I feel like.
Well, I mean, the Orioles, they have a tough last series. They played Tampa Bay. You know, so that's going to be difficult. But New York plays Boston. And I know Boston is not good right now, but there is
animosity
there.
But they're going to play that game out.
And they're going to come out and make sure that they're going to try to make the Yankees lose. I don't think they have enough firepower still, Boston, even though they're going to give it their all, to where they're going to pull it out. I think New York will slightly pull it out. I think the Orioles will make it to the wild card and probably end up beating the A's to end up in the final four in the playoffs. But that's my opinion. I think Tampa Bay is a pretty good team. I think they got a lot of fight in them, so I'm kind of judging more on their opponents than on the teams themselves. I think they're both winning teams and looking really good.
Yeah, I think the Orioles have been way more consistent with their bats, for sure, because that's where I think pitching, yeah. I know that they have their lineup, and not having Mariano Rivera for the Yankees hurts big time to close those games. It just hurts, because that's reliability.
Soriano hasn't been bad, though.
Yeah, he hasn't.
But Mariano's
no Mariano.
He's number one ever.
He's never going to be. No, I don't know if there's ever going to be a closer that good again.
There can't be. He had, what, .9 something in the playoffs all time?
I remember watching an E6, I think it was E60 or something on ESPN about him.
Yeah. The cutter?
The cutter.
So,
he's like, either one slight move of your index finger, and he either cuts to the left or to the right. And then he's like, how'd you learn that, man? He's like, God gave it to me, man. I have no idea how I can throw like this every day. Even now, you know, so even at his age, it's amazing.
What a great player! But good job for Buck Showalter. Either way, I just want to give a shout
out. Coach of the year,
second year in the league, already getting that team to the playoffs. It looks like way to go.
And he's a class act when you interview him. Check out some of those things. He's a riot.
Yeah.
A couple other points with baseball before we take our break. Angels. Okay, I'm going to LA. Angels, I guess, are an LA team. That's my biased opinion talking right now.
Well, Dodger fans would disagree, but
I strongly disagree.
They have that of Anaheim part at the end. You know, they're cheating. Anyways, they are still in contention as well as almost everybody else in the American League. They're 3.5 games back behind the A's and whoever wins between whoever loses the division title between the Yankees and the Orioles. So they have 4 games remaining. Do you think there's any hopes of the Angels getting there?
2 games back, 4 games to go. I'm looking slim to none on that. I mean, that's just mathematics right there. It's going to be pretty tough. I mean, they could, but you're going to have to. I mean, I don't like it when it's out of the realm of, like, it's not in your control. If you win out, you can't win. So they're in that position where they can't win out and necessarily win. So
almost a lot of luck. Luck has to play into that.
Well, yeah, because they have to lose. So, I mean, I would say they're going to miss it by a game, maybe still at the 2 games, but a little short. They're going to look at some of those close wins and be sad.
How disappointing is their season, really, when you think about it? They got Pujols, and they're like, that's the biggest move of the offseason.
I think Pujols was a good move, though. The thing is that I think that messed up was their pitching. Herron isn't looking like he was supposed to. C.J. Wilson is not looking like that contract he was supposed to. They paid him all that money when he went 0-4 in the playoffs last year. Weaver's been the only consistent pitcher on that team. So, you know, I mean, it's really not that surprising. I think the hitting actually did really well this year. You got an MVP candidate. You got Trumbo coming out of nowhere being an all-star. You got Pujols, you know, started off slow, but balled at the end of the year. So really it's on the pitching. So if they get that together by next year, that's going to be a beast of a squad.
And really, what are people expecting of Pujols in the beginning of the season? They're expecting him to come out swinging, hitting jacks every game. Guy goes on a little bit of a slump. They start criticizing. I mean, give the guy a break. He's still ending up with really decent numbers.
He's like, still that machine.
Yeah. He did probably one of the smartest moves, which is to get out and get more money, because his career isn't going higher anymore.
Especially in the NL, playing in the NL.
Yeah, he's hit his peak.
No one deserves a 10-year contract. If you can get one, take it.
Exactly. That's my opinion. All right. On the real side of the LA spectrum, I should say, the Dodgers catching fire late in these last few games. Their bats come alive, winning like 8-1, shutting out. They played the Rockies today. They won. They won today, which puts them... Well, I have to update my stats. Before that, there are three games. That three games left the Giants now. They're half a game back now with their win. Can they pull it off?
It's on the Cardinals. If the Cardinals can lose a game, I know our boys can just rally. We're on the way back. Anyway, if we can make it in, we'll be the hot team going in, and that's all you need. Like,
I've been a Dodger fan for years, and this just seems typical Dodgers. Get us all excited last minute just for us to be a little short again. I think it's the same thing as the American League. If I'm going to judge the Angels like I judge them, got to judge the Dodgers the same way. Mathematically, it's not going to happen. Bats came alive too late. You know, but if you look at it, that big trade came over 2.5 games. We were still out of it. That trade was more for next year. I think it's a bright, bright future next year. I think that trade was, you know, really geared toward next year. So, you know, it's sad we didn't make it. We're still going to fall a little short. San Fran's going to play us hard. They're not going to, you know, let up on us because they're looking at home field advantage too. So it's going to be tough, but it's probably like the Angels. We're probably both going to fall a little short.
It's an uphill climb for sure.
All right. With that, we're going to take a quick break. We'll be back in a couple minutes. Stay tuned in the sports booth. We're here. Back to NFL a little bit, because I missed one big thing, one big guy who had a great game today. All right, so RG3 helps the Redskins get over Tampa Bay, winning by a field goal. All right, guys, he had an interesting game. Didn't have a passing touchdown that I know of. He could have had two rushing touchdowns, but one of them he fumbles, and luckily
goal line fumble.
They should have just counted that as a pass to Garcon, but that's my opinion.
Yeah, maybe.
For fantasy purposes.
Oh, that makes a lot of sense right there, man. Right. That makes so much sense. Well, how does his performance fare against his rookie class in the NFL?
I mean, in terms of today, Tannehill had a beast of a game. So today, you know, you might have to, I mean, he won the game, so you have to give it to him, but Tannehill was really close. But
Tannehill's had two good games too, right?
Yeah, he's done pretty well, especially for a Miami team who, you know, a lot of people didn't put much stock into. But, I mean, RG3 to me is – he's a killer. Like, that kid's going to be great. You know, you can just tell he runs out of the pocket so well. He's looking to pass first, so he's not really like a Vic-type player, but he has some of the same qualities, and he's the whole package. I think the Redskins have a huge future ahead of them.
Huge. It's beautiful. It's beautiful. And Tannehill, not the best first half. Second half, picks it up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Second half, picks it up, making big plays, finding his receivers. Great performance from him overall.
And Wilson threw the 3 interceptions, another rookie. I think that's obviously out of the window.
And a bye week for Indianapolis, so, you know, you can't count them at all.
Yeah, that's the real competition we're comparing to.
Whedon played really well, too, though.
Oh, wow, yeah, let's not forget about that. My bad.
About that. Monday night game.
Good calling that, Jay. I almost forgot about that one.
B. Whedon.
He was impressive, but, I mean, that's a 28-year-old man who, you know, he's probably got a little more. He knows his years.
He's been around.
You know, he's got more numbered years, so I think he's going to be good for them for right now, especially – they made it a close game for the Ravens being a much better team, in my opinion.
Beautiful, man. Let's go. Let's switch up sports once again, if it wasn't confusing enough. Try and keep up with this, guys. So, soccer. Going into the realm and world of soccer. One of the biggest happenings, if you're a Tottenham Hotspur fan. The Tottenham Spurs beat Man U at Old Trafford for the first time since 1989. The score ended up being 3-2. Marked a lot of big movements. Wayne Rooney returned. Klim Dempsey, the American, the deuce, scored the game, what would be the game winner. So what would you guys take away from that game?
Oh, it was a great game. I mean, anytime there's a long gap between wins in a franchise's rivalry, like that's a big-time rivalry over there. Like that's kind of like Ravens-Steelers over here. Like that's heavy.
Yeah, I think I'm pretty excited for Clint Dempsey. I'm a big soccer fan, and to see an American over there and kind of getting the credit for all that, and finally some attention for some of the American soccer players, I think it's really good for them. Obviously, the 23-year drought's big, but I kind of take away from Clint Dempsey just because, you know, the American factor, and kind of happy to see them kind of putting up a fight in Europe and showing the guys what's up.
And he was one of the bigger moves of the transfer window as well.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't know if he was going to stay. He had his fallout with Fulham, and you're like, okay, how long is it going to take for him to get on the board with Tottenham? And now here you are against one of one of the biggest teams. The next team we're talking about is probably the biggest right now, but in the English Premier League, let alone the world. So, but my other question is, the Man U back four looked terrible. The game, the goals and the passes that were found were very sloppy. They chasing people around. Rio Ferdinand looked lost at times. What do you guys, are you guys scared of that?
I don't like Rafael back there, honestly.
Well, why not? What's wrong with Rafael?
I don't like him. He doesn't play the right way for me. He's too aggressive on the wings. You can play as a left wing back and come up, but there's a time to clam down and really dig in on defense, and he's really lacking, and he gets passed around a lot on the corners. And Gareth Bale, wow. I mean, there's no one in the world that can really stop that guy one-on-one, but he really gave him a long night on that left wing.
Yeah, I'd have to pretty much agree with everything he said on that one, to be honest.
Who would you replace on the right back, I guess?
That's I may have to put in Johnny Evans right there. And I'd play Johnny Evans, Rio Ferdinand, Vidic, and Evra as my four.
And that seems pretty strong right there.
Wouldn't mind it at all.
All right, and moving probably the biggest team in the English Premier League, at least right now by numbers, Chelsea beats Arsenal in the London Derby 2-1.
The Derby.
So Chelsea would be atop the league table now, undefeated. They have one draw to the name, hard-fought draw. But Chelsea's looking really beasty. I mean, they just won the Champions League. And now here they are performing very well. A very different look from what they had a year ago at this time.
For sure. Like, if we're seeing a revitalized Fernando Torres, Juan Mata's come in, Eden Hazard has come in. And really giving the team some real speed after losing Drogba. So,
do we really feel that Fernando Torres was worth it?
I mean, if you're gonna ask me, players are what they're worth is really like It's a tough situation.
I think it's difficult because he plays on the international level. Right. He's been on that international stage, and he has done pretty well on that stage.
We've all seen him. We're judging him.
So people kind of, it's like kind of like a lifetime achievement thing with Jeter getting paid out. Fernando Torres is kind of the same way in that sense. You pay guys who perform in the past, and you see how it works out.
I've never liked Fernando Torres. He had a hot year. man. I can't take it away from him.
Do you remember back to the Atletico days or when?
Right after that, when he was playing for
Liverpool.
Yeah, when he was in Liverpool, he had a hot year. Where he won the Euro Cup too, had the game-winning goal. Everyone was yelling his name because he was doing so great. And then after that, after his knee injury, never came back. And even now, he's not the fit for me at Chelsea.
True. I'd have to agree. I like to see him in a little bit better shape and doing better, scoring more goals.
But yeah, I didn't see him with Chelsea, but I don't know if I necessarily see it as a bad fit, but I definitely initially going into it didn't see him going with Chelsea. I didn't think it was the correct fit, but you got to let it play out a little bit longer, see what goes down.
A great pickup by Chelsea, though, is Oscar. Oscar is fitting in right at home there.
Yeah.
He's creating a lot of chances. His movement is great. He's controlling the ball, keeping possession, and he got a brace the other game. He's one of those. He's very reliable, and he makes his presence known. I love that in a player.
He's a good kid.
Good.
He'd be real good.
Kid is right. Kid is a good way to describe him.
Yeah, they're all 18.
The whole Brazil international team.
21.
Right,
I'm pretty sure he's 18.
Yeah, he's 21.
The whole international squad for Brazil is super young right now. He might be somewhere in that. He's really young though.
Who knows?
Brazil always has an international squad. It doesn't matter.
The man has game, let's just say.
Yeah, I mean, they're the Yankees in soccer. Boy. So
let's move on a little bit to another country. Still staying in soccer. Barcelona wins 3-2 against Sevilla at the death. And who was the scorer? No one else but David Maravilla. The wonder kid, the wonder boy. He's back, I guess. Could you say that after the injury, the year-ending injury last year?
Hopefully he's back. I mean, we saw, just like we talked about, we saw Fernando Torres take injury, come back, score a couple goals. We think he's going to be back. And then he's under expectation. So, I mean, let's give him a couple games. But I do believe David Villa is going to be huge again.
Yeah, I mean, it's a good start. I mean, that's definitely for sure. But I agree, you kind of got to let it play out a little bit longer before we make a decision if he's back or not.
One thing I can't help but think about when I do think about that is just, is he the best fit for Barcelona up top? I mean, they have offense for days, for nights, for weeks, for months, for years. Is he the best forward for the job?
I mean, where do you want to play? It depends. They have, like you said, they have such an array of players. It depends on where you want to play certain players. You want Messi to play striker on the wing?
Well, his replacement was Alexis Sanchez.
Yeah.
That was his replacement. And he's great. To me, he's more of a winger than a forward.
Mm-hmm.
But he does attack when he's there, whatever. And David Villa is just a killer in the box. You give it to him, it's finding the back of the net. So I'm excited for him. I mean, I'm a Barca fan. I'm excited for David Villa because I think he has one of the more respectable careers
Definitely. That's
out there. And he's had a wonderful one so far. But going to the rivals, Real Madrid. They're finding their winning ways now. They got two wins to their name in the last 2 weeks, including actually three with an impressive win against Man City in the Champions League. They win today after Ricky scoring for Deportivo La Coruña early on, but they win 5-1. Cristiano Ronaldo wins a hat trick. Before these games, though, Cristiano Ronaldo, he went on record for saying, "I'm not happy right now, Real Madrid." And having a fallout, supposedly, with Casillas, the goalkeeper.
Mm-hmm.
And now here he is, scoring a hat trick. You think he's back, into his groove? Whatever happened is settled?
It probably feels good to him to have a hat trick and everything. I mean, he's Cristiano Ronaldo. We all know he has the ego. So I mean, he probably feels really good. Went out, had a night on the town, and then he's probably going to be back at work, unhappy, demanding things again. I know.
Yeah. There's probably still animosity there, but he's always kind of been a little prima donna, but in the end, he's a soccer player. He's a beast. So I don't think anything that's going on off the field is going to affect what he's doing on the field. But there's still going to be that side chatter during the week. But when it comes to game time, I think he's going to play.
And next week, all the bars in LA are going to be packed.
The Clásico.
It's El Clásico. I mean, not only do you have football, but now you have football or football, however you want to say it. It's soccer. you have El Clásico, Real Madrid versus Barcelona. Ooh. Arguably the biggest rivalry in Europe and maybe even the world in terms of how many fans are going to see that. Who do you have winning that game?
Barcelona, of course.
Now, why Barcelona, though? Guys, Jacob's like, I'm not sure about that.
Too much Messi.
Too much Messi.
Too much Messi, too much Iniesta, too much Xavi. They're going to be... Yeah. I like Jordi Alba, the new edition of Jordi Alba, a lot.
Messi's the clincher for me, but I don't know. That's a tough one to pick, but I think, yeah, Messi's the clincher for me. That guy's a beast, and I think he'll end up taking over that game. I think he's going to have at least one, maybe two goals.
I mean, it's really interesting. The spectrum has changed a lot, especially in the last year. He just had Barcelona for 2 years, not giving Real Madrid a chance at all between the Champions League, the Supercopa, all of it, even the regular season. And then last year, Real Madrid, it was their year. They win the title. They take it. They go, well, they all go evenly as far in the Champions League. But they play each other for the Supercopa. Real Madrid comes back and wins that.
Yeah, and that was a great comeback.
So, huge.
It's really interesting to see. I fare, it might be a thing of who has the best game plan and who executes it better. Because you have Jose Mourinho, one of the best managers there are in soccer. And then you have, you know, Tito Villanova, who's relatively new, replacing Pep Guardiola for Barcelona. And you're just like, is that going to be the fact that right there it changes it?
I mean, Barcelona, it's tough because you guys did get them last year. But at the same time, we refer to it as an epic comeback, which means it doesn't happen that often. So I think Barcelona's going to get right back to work and take care of them. That's just my personal opinion. You know, we'll see though. It's gonna be a nice matchup, but I don't know if they're gonna escape it this time.
One thing I hope to see in this is Barcelona style. They'll sleep you on the D, and then one run will change it all.
Boom, they're countering. You
know, what Real Madrid did at the last meeting, the Supercopa, they attacked right at the beginning. Two goals in the first 20 minutes. If that happens again, I think they get the game. If they're able to just
get some early points.
Those early points and really just test the back line early, they'll take the game. Barcelona. I have Barcelona winning 3-2. That's my score. 3-2, Barcelona taking that.
So we're all in agreement.
We're all on the same page. I'm playing devil's advocate.
Oh, no, definitely.
All the Real Madrid.
You know,
it could
happen, though. You know what I mean?
All the Real Madrid fans.
We might be stunned 2 years straight.
All right, guys. Anyways, moving on, sports, man. I gotta hit it because you're rocking the hat on the way in here. You're rocking the hat.
My depressing Bulls. These were the good times though.
These are the only times.
Chicago Bulls intro, their theme song.
Next show, can I just run out to this?
Don't start up. I'm just gonna lie. I'm gonna introduce your name.
I'm just gonna run out to this.
Wow. I want a montage of you though, We'll have that on the big screen as this plays.
Yeah, all the lights and everything hit me.
All right.
Can you imagine, George?
Biggest move so far in the NBA. Just announced this week. NBA is set to punish flopping with post-game fines. What does that do to the game? That's big. That's one of the biggest complaints last year of the postseason, was that people were throwing themselves. I was a big one of them. I saw LeBron James run into Derek Fisher and go down. And I'm just like, you have so much size on Derek Fisher. It's ridiculous. Yes. What do you guys think this does to the game?
You know, I don't think players should be fined. But at the same time, I'm really tired of seeing athletes with all this star talent and all the media around them, all the cameras that we have today, trying to sell fouls and try to complain to refs. I just want to see competitive play. Where's the competitive spirit?
Look, to me, it's the name of the game. You know, I'm a big soccer fan. We just got off that note, and flopping's huge there. You know, to me, that's the way you sell fouls. We've been doing it since kids, you know, and ones, calling flops. You know what I'm saying? We all do it. Thing to me, I don't understand it because they're going to get post-game fines. But if nothing's happened to reprimand them during the game, there's really no point. It doesn't affect the game. So it's really, it doesn't mean anything.
Gonna find a guy for a flop? Like, come on, that doesn't seem right.
I mean, LBJ, I mean, do you think he's really going to care about $10,000 flops with all the money he's making? He's just going to pay him and be gone.
With that being said, who's some of the biggest floppers in the game, you feel?
Is Vlade Divac still playing?
Vlade Divac, great point.
Yeah.
Blake Griffin, for me, is a heck of an actor.
He is. He'll sell a foul. He'll pretend he has a broken nose.
I think he was nominated for an Academy Award this past week.
If you want to go that hard in the paint, you gotta be ready to take some hits. So his flops are, I mean, that's why he doesn't get a lot of his calls, is because he goes so hard that you're going to get hit like that sometimes. And you can't be dunking on people like that and not expect people to come back at you.
That's
true.
Chris Bosh, one of the biggest ones, absolutely. I mean, last year when he actually got hurt, I couldn't even believe him. Really? I couldn't even take it serious. I'm like, I don't know why he's down right now. I think he's selling it. And then I'm like, oh, something actually happened? That's like the case of a boy who cried wolf, man. You fake it every time. Who knows when you're telling the truth?
Yeah, Bosh seems a little sensitive, but I don't know. It's tough. They said he put on some weight in the offseason.
Center.
Try to match up, I think, with Dwight Howard. So, maybe you won't see that flopping this year. You might, though, but it doesn't surprise me. He does have the reputation of being like that, though. So. Yeah.
I don't see him just doing it. I think another big one is Chris Paul. I don't know. That's going to change his game. But, I mean, the point you made is very good. In soccer, they teach you if you don't go down, the ref's probably not going to call it. Same thing, if you don't wave your arms in the air, if you don't, take a dive, if you don't do any of that, will the refs call it? Are they going to make the right call?
Yeah, and also, is it really going to matter to guys like Chris Paul, who have all that money, and it's going to be a very minimum fine? It's the highest paid league in America, so these guys aren't really going to trip on it. If it doesn't affect the game, they're going to still do it because it's in their favor to do it in the game to win.
In the heat of the moment, they're not going to be thinking about the fine.
Absolutely not.
What would you rather see? Because this might not be the right move. What would you have rather see?
No fines and just come down harsher and just don't call it and play through, or I just want to see competitive play, man. That's all I want to see.
Yeah, I would try to train the refs to look for it a little better and try to start there and see if they can do something about it during the game. To do something after a game to me makes no sense because it doesn't really matter. It doesn't affect the game. So unless it's something that's directly going to affect the game, I say just do away with it.
Well, you know what I've been wanting for years now is for a technical foul to be called. In soccer, if you go down, you're flopping. That's a yellow card. That's I can't think of the word that it is, but whatever.
Diving?
It's not diving. They have an actual word in the rule book for you. I can't think of it. Whatever. But if you were to get a T, if you get teed up for flopping, then you get teed up twice. You're out. You just ruined the game. It's like getting two yellow cards. You're out. So do you think that would have been a better solution, or you think that would ruin the flow of the game as well?
I mean, that all leads up to the same thing. Too many T's as what is a fine. So it's the end players who don't care about that. They don't need to be punished for flopping. I don't think players need to be punished at all. Flopping needs to be taken away from the game more than it is. It's just flopping.
I don't think it needs to be taken away either, but I do like that if you are trying to actually help the game and you're actually trying to get rid of flopping, I do think a technical foul will help because if you're actually getting kicked out of the game, that's a lot different than saying you got to write a check after the game.
It's not a bad idea.
I mean, there's a lot of floppers. You know who started doing it more, especially as started going older, was Kobe. Kobe started slowing down, and whenever he'd go into the paint, you would hear he and Paul Gasol probably yell more. They're the biggest yellers in the game, and it's effective. It was more effective before. Now I think refs know that Kobe, especially Paul Gasol, or those guys are just going to be yelling for every play, So
I mean, all the great players of all time have been like that, though. They all get the calls. Kobe knows at this point he's kind of like the OG of the league, the godfather. So, even if he makes a slight little uproar, they're going to give him a foul because he's Kobe. I don't really like that, but that is what it is.
Of course, you're a Chicago Bulls fan. What can we expect?
Best fan to be. A lot of LA fans used to be Chicago Bulls fans, too. 15 years ago. All of a sudden they're Kobe fans.
Hey, you had a rough last season. Hey, I apologize. Derrick Rose.
Oh, man. And this, who was the first guy to text me about Derrick Rose? Right over here. Yeah, thanks a lot.
Yours truly?
Could have texted you a hug or something.
He texted me straight up. Man. Yeah, you suck.
Hey, man, do you think he was healthy? Do you think he was healthy going into the playoffs?
I think Derrick Rose is phenomenal. I don't think he should be our main scorer. I don't think a main scorer as a point guard has won an NBA championship.
Going into the playoffs last year, though, do you think he was healthy?
I think he was. The thing is, that kid goes hard all the time. So the way he shoots the ball, the way he goes to the lane, sometimes, freak accidents are going to happen like that. That's the way he plays. You got to take the bad with the good with him. You just got to hope he stays healthy for 3 years, and then every fourth year you might have trouble with him because he's just that kind of player.
Point guards are the most injury-prone players in the NBA. Just because of the fast pace.
And they're smallest. They get hit harder if they go in the lane.
They handle the ball the most.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Speaking of a point guard, there's actually a really big story. John Wall for the Washington. For Washington, the Wizards, hurt knee. Out for the season.
Breaks my heart.
Yeah. Oh, you're a big Washington fan?
My gamer tag on Xbox Live is John Wall Dance.
Oh. What are you going to... You got to make a new dance up.
Add me, guys. Add me. John Wall Dance. But I got to come up with a new dance now.
No one's going to know what you're talking about now. They're like, John... I don't know. Sitting down? Is that your dance right now?
I guess.
Having your knee in a brace?
I guess I got to get a leg brace and just straighten it out and sit around, drink some iced tea.
You can do that in the game. That's great.
Stanky legs.
Yeah, I don't know, man. But that's tough. John Wall is one of the best point guards in this league, and I really thought he was primed to have a good season. And they just got Bradley Beal. Speaking of them, Washington, I thought, and they have a nice new roster, like some new additions. I thought coming into this season,
this is very old school Clipper-esque, where that first pick overall just kind of goes down the drain again. At least for this year, John Wall was looking like an up and coming point guard star. Honestly, this is sad because Washington doesn't have much going for him anyway.
Are you giving up on him?
Huh?
You're giving up on him?
I never really bought into him.
Oh.
I mean, you say top point guard in the league. I can name about 7-8 better right now, so that's just my
name them.
Derrick Rose. You got Derrick Rose. You got Chris Paul. You got Russell Westbrook. You got, you're going to make me name them all right now. I just got to think of teams.
Tony Parker,
Steve Nash,
What are you going to put? Are you going to put Jeremy Lin on there?
Derrick Rose. No Jeremy Lin. But, I mean, there's. I mean, he's an up-and-comer, but, you know, even Ricky Rubio up until he got hurt was looking good. So, I mean, I'm not going to say John Wall right away. A point guard's a tough. Oh, Deron Williams. I mean, we're forgetting about a lot of people.
Ricky has the injury, too, right now, though. He's coming back this season.
Yeah, Ricky Rubio, a quick update. He's on track, supposedly, for his knee surgery. He says he should be coming back around December, around January.
That team could be good with Kevin Love and him. If they really put it together, that's a fun team.
And Ricky Rubio's a showy. He's a real. He's how a many showman. True point guards, though? How many true point guards are there really in the NBA?
Rajon Rondo.
Rondo. Yeah, you forgot about Rondo. Yeah. He's the one that went up for the challenge.
If you're talking about a real point guard, strictly playing point guard, it's Rajon Rondo. Now, he doesn't add all the scoring like everybody else, which makes other guys more fantasy, you know, tempting. But in the sense of a true point guard, pass first, you know, it's either him or LeBron, you know, if he wants to play point guard, could be that kind of guy. But it's Rajon, I think, in terms of point guard.
I mean, there's not a lot of real point guards. If you think about the best one, it's like it's him, Chris Paul.
If you're getting more assistance, guys like Steve Nash and Chris Paul.
You shouldn't be scoring. If you're scoring over 20 to me, you're not doing exactly what you're supposed to be doing at the point guard. I'm not saying it's a bad thing. It's just that your team requires you to be doing something else.
You need 8-plus assists a game reliably.
Absolutely.
Who has more upside out of these two point guards that we just, the two injured ones, Rubio or Wall?
Rubio. I have way more hopes, Rubio. His passing, his vision, his speed is great. And he's a good shooter.
And he's been playing longer because he's been playing internationally since he's been
but
like
15. He wasn't good over in – he was doing terrible over there. He was averaging like 5 points.
He's a 15-year-old kid.
He was 18, 19.
He's been playing since he was like 16.
Yeah, I mean, I think out of those two, I would also have to say Rubio. But if you're looking for like something like fantasy stats, you go John Wall. He's going to put up the flashy numbers. But if you look at real point guard numbers, it's going to be Rubio.
For sure, John has more of a load on his back. He is the Washington Wizards.
Yeah, he has to score, but they got Love over there, so they'll be fine.
All right,
they got Love.
They got Love, man. Hey, man, do you ever see the Love getting out of Minnesota?
Hopefully, and coming to L.A. Once Powell's out,
he signed that big contract. Some guys like the smaller city. So
I'm a Lakers fan, and I'm just saying I'm one of the realistic ones. Most Laker fans are just spoiled. You're spoiled, man.
We're the best.
We can get everyone and anyone.
Like, that's what we do. Orlando loves giving us their best players.
Yeah. Oh, man, I saw a meme online. It's like Dwight Howard talking to Shaq. He's like, all right, so I was in Orlando, then go to Lakers. So from here, where do I go? I go to Miami, right? And then after that, I go to Cleveland, right? Okay. Make sure I follow all your full set.
So I got to make it to Houston, to Miami, to Houston.
All right, gentlemen, we are basically out of time. Jay Harrison.
What a show.
Jacob Stockfish. Eldrick Bone. We'll be back next week. Plenty much to talk about. All right, guys. We'll be seeing you there. Thank you so much for listening. We'll be seeing you then.
All right, y'all. Ooh. Oh, it's hell.